back like we forgot something. Mr. National Podcast with my man P Double. How you doing, Paul?
I'm good, man. I got issues that I need to talk about.
All right. Well, before we get into that, I just wanted to tell you about this heat wave that the Northeast is in. And it's a, what do they call it, a heat wave. I think if it's 4 or 5 days or longer of 90 degree or hotter weather, it's called a heat wave or something like that. I think we're in our 9th day. It was 90-something a day here in Philadelphia. Your boy, Mr. National, sweated it out all day, but I'm fresh. I'm feeling good in the studio, and we are ready to do this podcast. So
I just let you know I'm from Texas, so I'm brushing this heat wave off like it's nothing.
Oh, man. In Texas, did you guys get the humidity, though, in Philly? I mean, they always say the heat, the dry heat, the humidity.
Yeah.
Texas, they do. I remember going to Texas. I've been to Texas quite a bit. That's a real heat out there. So
yeah, it's no joke. I mean,
it's no joke, right?
It's like if you have a bad winter, you don't go outside, you know. Well, in Texas, in the summertime, you don't go outside.
That's
you know, wintertime is like, oh, I can, you know,
oh,
let me go enjoy this weather.
Right, right. That's
the heat is just disabling, you know, in the summertime. So.
Well, let's enough of that crying and complaining about heat. You know, it's summertime, supposed to be hot. Posed it. Not supposed.
Supposed to be.
That's what we said. Supposed
to be.
Posed it.
Now, I was.
What we got?
I was at work today talking to a friend of mine, and I said, hey, we got this podcast, and, we, you know, a lot of sports. He doesn't like sports. So, a lot of sports. But, you know, it's not just sports. It's like, let me give you an example of, you know, you're up in bed and you hear a noise and you know, given options, 12-gauge shotgun, the 9, you know, all, I go through the list.
Right.
You should have heard him. He's like, 12-gauge, easy. As soon as he hears that, he's out the door.
I told you that.
Yeah, and I learned something new, too. So he says you got to have a 12 gauge and you got to have the shot, like the little BBs inside the
buckshot shell.
The reason you want a 12 gauge in your house is because you don't want like the bullet going through the wall and killing the neighbor or killing one of your kids or whatever.
Yeah,
you want it,
right.
And so that buckshot will just spread out and go in the wall, but won't go through it.
Exactly.
Perfect, man. So,
well, I mean, 12 gauge has a lot of kick. If you ever shot a 12 gauge, I mean, you gotta brace up. They do sell a 20 gauge that's even sweeter. So that's another option. A little, it's a Mossberg Shockwave 20 gauge. That's short and sweet.
Listen, Mr. National. As I mentioned, I'm from Texas. On my 7th birthday, I mean, I live north of Dallas, out in the sticks. On my 7th birthday, I got a 12-gauge shotgun.
Jeez!
So me and my brothers went out into the... Yeah. So when I was 7, I shot a 12-gauge.
Oh, my goodness.
That was the last time I shot a gun.
You're a man's man.
No. That was the last time I shot a gun.
I take that back. You wimp.
I got the cell phone. I'm calling the police. I got my team is the 77 Cowboys.
Okay.
Right, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett.
Right, that was Tony Dorsett's rookie year. Am I correct? 77?
Was it?
Yeah.
That
was his rookie season, 77, yeah.
Really?
I think so.
You might be right. I don't know that one off the top of my head. I'm ashamed. So, you know, my team's not. I'm not great at this. I'm pretty new. I like to do it myself, though. You know.
Right.
So now I'm going to Dallas. I'm joining the Ohio League.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, there's going to be like 24 coaches.
They got that many now.
Yeah, this season it just blew up.
When do they start?
They start August 24th and 25th in Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Yeah, that's Frank Jacobs plays.
Speaking of Frank Jacobs, that I was going to bring up Frank. So today I get a text from Frank I'm going to Dallas. I'm going to Bowling Green, and I got to go to a couple more game days traveling, you know. So I'm all in, you know. Like, I'm not pussyfooting around.
No. You're not sticking your foot in the water. You are diving in. You are
head first. Yep.
Right.
And I was telling those guys, I'm like, you know, shit, I should have just, you know, it's easier to go like 0-8 or something in a smaller kind of league, you know, than to go 0-16. But
are they having a 16-game schedule, huh?
I think so.
Wow. Okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
This is a lot for me. I mean, this is huge, you know. I'm biting off more than I'm diving in head first from, like, the high dive, you know.
Right. You know, they had different levels of the diving board, beginner, you know, intermediate, and then expert. Then Olympics. You up there in Olympics.
Yeah, and I'm about to belly flop. Wham. So, anyway, I get a text from Frank Jacobs, the legendary, the incomparable Frank Jacobs.
SM.
He's got this box that he made to carry a team in, and it's for Dallas Cowboys. It's got Roger Staubach on it. It's got Ed Jones and Randy White, Tony Dorsett, Robert Newhouse. I mean, it looks beautiful. It's the best box I've seen.
I've seen it.
You did?
I think I did. I think he posted a picture of it. Yeah.
He's like, hey, I heard you were playing in the league, and you heard you got the Cowboys, and I just made this box, and he sent me all these pictures of it. And it's the most beautiful box I've ever seen. And I'm like, damn it. All afternoon, I was like, oh, because I can't tell you how much he wanted for it. But it was more than I'm willing to part with.
Right. So
I feel bad, man, because he didn't make it for me, but.
No.
But he made it. I remember seeing spec.
Yes. But it's dead on to way. You would have wanted your box.
Oh, it's perfect. It's right. Like I couldn't imagine a better thing, you know? And I'm like feeling kind of depressed.
You got to do some overtime. You got to get a side job.
Yeah. So.
That's what you got, a side job to support your EF habit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so anyway, that happened to me today. This is what I'm dealing with. This is his hobby.
Yes. He got me like that too, Paul.
Really?
He got me. Yeah, he had painted up these 49ers.
Oh,
for all our listeners out there, Mr. National is a huge, huge San Francisco 49er fan from back in the 80s, you know? Well, anyways, he does this team. He does a it's more like an 80s, 90s team. That's probably what the roster is. There's no T.O. There's no Jeff Garcia. I mean, he has Montana and Young. So it's like an 80s theme in the 80s uniform in tournament style. Dark offense, white defense. And he just did them. And one of the tournaments we went to, he had them. And he was like, oh, Nash, you should buy. You should. He went, first he wanted me to play with him. You know, he does. He's like, play with him. Just, you know, and that'll showcase him to everybody. You'll see him and drum up some, you know, business for him. So I don't even think I played the tournament. But long story short, I mean, he wanted a lot of money, more than I was willing to, you know, part with. And I had to, you know, leave him on the table. So
that's the hardest thing. Because somebody else is going to get that box.
I know.
And then I'm going to just be jealous.
Yeah, I know, but with the Niners, I mean, Tom went by, he didn't sell them, so he brought the price down a little bit, and then he let me put them on layaway. So.
Oh, did he really? I was thinking about that.
Yeah. That way it don't seem like you paid all that money, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, can we put it on layaway?
yeah, Paul, I mean, yeah, Frank will let you put it on layaway.
Really? I'm going to tell him I talked to you.
You tell him. Right.
And I'm saying, National told me, ask if I can put it on the layaway. Yeah.
No, you just say, National said, I'm putting it on layaway. You know what I mean? That's it. Take it or leave it, chump. For people that don't know, Frank Jacobs, if that name rings a bell, that's him. The former tight end at Notre Dame. Played for Lou Holtz. And if you get Frank Jacobs the proper amount of alcohol, he will transform into Lou Holtz and do him dead on. Dead on. He's spitting and everything.
Yeah.
We've been out in bars, and Frank's been twisted, and he went into Lou Holtz, man. It is great. It is great.
And Frank's a giant.
He's huge.
He's a giant.
He's huge. He's 6'5", like 240, muscle.
Yeah, not an ounce of fat on him. Just
yeah, exactly.
Muscles everywhere. And he plays electric football.
And he plays electric football, exactly.
All that size and all those muscles don't help him.
Yeah, it don't help you in electric football. I mean, you're triple threat, you know what I mean? You don't need muscles to throw the ball 50 yards down the field. You know what I mean? Weaklings like me and P-Double, you know what I mean? Like on electric football, we are on the same level as a guy 6'6", 270, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's it. It's not a game of, it's a game of thinking. It's strategy. It's chess. You know?
Yep.
The strategy of chess, the speed in front of checkers, all on electric football. We don't want a football theme about it. Mm-hmm. And they move by themselves. You can't beat it. Greatest board, I'm going to say top two. Monopoly is up there, and of course chess checkers is up there. But I would say electric football is in the top three. It's in there. I put it up there. With Monopoly, chess and checkers, and electric football. So
now, Monopoly is a great game. It's fantastic.
Awesome game, right?
But somebody's going to get an argument or a fight. You know.
Yeah, somebody's taken from the bank. Somebody didn't pay the bank back.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I mean,
somebody's making up like bending the rules all the time. Reading.
House rules. Because one of the rules is before you can throw up houses and hotels. You have to have all of the colors.
Right.
You know, you have to have all the color scheme. You got the three purples or the three powder blues, and you can start buying houses on them.
Right.
Some people, that's in the rules. Some people say you only just, as long as you got one, you can start putting a house or a hotel on it. So.
Yeah, well, then if you get deep into it and you start mortgaging your properties, you know, they flip the card over and you can mortgage it.
You can mortgage, yeah. That's when you're broke. That's when
you get the calculator out, you know. And yeah, you got spreadsheets right. And shit. You know
we used to play as kids. You know, you got all your colors. You want to put hotels and houses up, but you didn't really have the money. You needed to get the money quick. You would borrow from the bank. You know what I mean? We would borrow from the bank. You know, $1,000 so I can put some hotels.
Somebody
up.
Somebody always wanted to write up a contract. You know?
It gets crazy. So Monopoly, in that sense, is almost like electric football. Everybody has their own little, you know, set of rules, which I think makes it awesome. Okay, because you in Michigan play a certain way. Those guys in Ohio play a certain way,
right.
And the guys here in Philly, we play a certain way, and Maryland and everywhere else. You know, I'm not going to short change none of the other leagues, but it makes it fun, but it also kind of cripples the game from getting, you know, mass appeal or TV appeal because it's so different. You know what I mean? Like when you play like, Texas Hold'em or Cards or something, it's the same way everywhere you go.
Right.
That's how
it's universal.
It's universal, exactly.
Right.
So that hurts electric football going, you know, mainstream like that. But.
Right. Believe it or not, I'm a big toe pro guy.
Okay.
But I just don't believe in arguing about the rules. I'll show up and I'll play TOC or I'll play Texas shootout style or, you know, Fat 8 or whatever, you know, they get the little snap. Whatever.
Yeah, I never really lit Fat 8. I know they got their own style. I never heard too much about it, dog. You know,
Dixie League. Ready.
Yeah, yeah, Dixie League. I mean, you got the strategy divider in Virginia.
Yeah, yeah.
7-7, where you can't see the defense or the offense, the way they're lining up.
Yep.
Yeah, everybody has their own little flavor.
Yeah, and I like them all, man. I don't care.
Yeah. Talking about styles, listening to the Mr. National podcast with my man, the producer, the host with the most, P-Double.
What up?
But talking about styles, I was throwing around this tournament. You know, people always say, Mr. National, you know, everybody knows, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you throw a tournament? You know, you guys got so many people in Philly. I always brush it off like P-Double brushes off heat, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, nah, I don't really think about putting on no TOC tournament or nothing. But the tournament, if I was going to have a tournament, I would do it with like 64 teams, right? It would be a 64-team bracket, just like the NCAA. I talked about this with Vance Warren and Morgan Scott.
We were
at the last clash in Beltsville, Maryland. And hear me out. Okay, 64 teams. You know, you pick the 64. It's a one-and-done tournament once you start.
Okay.
Now, the round of 64 would be TOC rules.
Okay. Okay.
Follow me? Okay, TOC rules. The first round, TOC. All the winners, now you're down to 32 teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, in the round of 32 teams, would play, let's say, Mid-Ohio or the Ohio rules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? As you advance through the brackets, the rule set changed.
Uh-huh.
Every bracket changed.
Right.
So 64 would be TOC. Let's say 32, the round 32 would be Mid-Ohio. Okay? Then from there, you have 16 winners. The Sweet 16 would be Texas Shootout.
Wow.
The Elite 8 would be, Texas Shootout, Shake the Box and everything.
Yeah.
Let's say, okay, that's Sweet 16. Then the Elite 8, let's say that would be the Strategy Divider.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Final
because
four.
Because who then is in is Jim Davis in the final. Because he can play all of them.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you would be the ultimate champion, the master of all styles.
You know what you should do, Mr. National? You should do this every 4 years, like the World Cup.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking. Yes. Absolutely. Because it's too big, it's too expensive to do it every year.
Right.
And it would be done. That's a great point. Every 4 years, like the Olympics or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
the
right.
World Cup.
Right.
The 64.
I mean, and you're going to, like, you know, you could rank the teams and have qualifying, you know.
Yeah. Events. I mean, I would kind of use the TOC kind of bracket. I would have my own ranking committee, you know, that would keep up with guys in their leagues.
Right.
And the tournaments, and then it would be ranked 1 to 64. And you would be invited to this tournament.
Right, right. Yeah, because you don't want any scrubs.
No. I mean.
I got to ask you a question. You've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah, about 19 years. 19
years.
Years. Yeah,
how is the hobby, like, this year, last year, compared to over the years? How's the state of the hobby? You know,
oh, it's great. It's great. I mean, people say, "Oh, it's dying." It's not really dying. I tell you, the number one change from back in the day, P-Double, from today, is the willingness of coaches to help other coaches. In the old days, especially far as like valuable things. In the old tournament, the old Miggle games when the Landsmans owned the company and they had the Miggle convention, say we're all in the room and you see this guy coming in. He looks all bright-eyed and he's got his little box and he walks in the room. He's just looking around. And one coach would notice that. And a coach would come over to him and say, "Hey, bud, how you doing? hey, how you doing, sir? How you doing? He's like, I'm from this area. Is it switched every year?
Right.
He was like, oh, glad to meet you. He's like, we looking to play? Oh, no, I'm just looking around. You know, I saw online, you know, that the teams, they have like the, you know, stamped helmet teams were out. You know, you can see the logo, actually. You know, us growing up, it was just a dot. You know, the Cowboys used to have a star. It was just a T.
A
T on a thing.
And that, like, it wasn't even on the, like, it was on his neck.
Exactly. Yeah, the paint jobs were pretty crappy back then, right. But it was what we had, and we loved it, you know?
Yep, yep.
So, you know, the guy would come in, say 67 big men. Even today, those are a collector's item, the old 67 big men.
Uh-huh.
And some of them are very, very rare. I mean, Rowdy Garcia, Earl Shores. It was another old-timer guy, Joe Konopacki. They were collectors. They would look for these things. You know what I mean? But back then, it was not so much today. It was so much custom now. But back in the day, I'm going back to 90, the mid to late 90s. The collector part of it was fierce. Mm-hmm. And this guy's walking in, and he says, well, I saw the new helmets. I want some of those. He's like, oh, okay. What you got in the box? He said, oh, well, I got, you know, my teams I got from when I was a kid, you know. He's like, oh, a kid, what year? Oh, 67. And then the coach would say, oh, wow, let me take a look. And you look in there, and he's got white jersey 67 Eagles, which is as rare as a dodo bird, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's got all these, and he's like, so what do you want for him? And he would say, oh, nothing real. I just want those new teams. And he said, well, hold on. You got to watch it because you don't want to go around. People will be looking all in your stuff. I'll take those teams off your hands for you. What teams are you looking for, you know, with the helmets? You know, he wouldn't even let them get over to the
right.
They were only like $6. Well, I'm a huge Cowboys fan. And then the guy would say, oh, I'll get you 8 packs of Cowboys for that. Yeah. What else you want?
Yeah.
And I'll throw you $50, just have you some spending money.
Uh-huh.
So basically, and I'm kind of off the top with the story, you know, but that went on in the
ruthless.
Hobby.
It was ruthless. Yeah,
it was ruthless. Another thing, if me and you were playing a game, I had to go to the bathroom. I packed all my men up, put them in the box, and took them to the restroom with me. That's the way the hobby was. It was cutthroat. And you do not see that today. People are more willing to help out everybody and anybody
That's cool.
Nowadays. So they say, you know, that's the biggest difference I've noticed. And obviously all the creativity has went up, you know, tenfold. You know what I mean? It's
right.
Out the world, the creativity. You know,
yeah.
Back in the day, we had Dirk Thomas, who was a hand painter and very, very ahead of his time. You know, the stuff they're doing now with the decals and everything else.
Oh man,
Dirk was kind of doing with his hands. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, wow.
So, yeah, but the biggest thing is helping. People are willing to help you more. The other thing back in the old days was eBay was huge. That's how that's how you got your stock up. You stock your pond of bases. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
620. Like in my garage, you know, that's the time I got. I probably have about 13 or 14 620 boards that when we were eBaying in 98, 99, and 2000, you were trying to get a bunch of those light green single clip bases, the red pegs, the wide tops, you know, all that. We would bid all day on 620 boards, you know, looking for the teams and the bases. You know, 620s today, nobody even plays on them.
No.
They're almost useless unless you're looking for the nostalgia of having it. Oh, that was the one I had as a kid, or you're just trying to put together a collection.
Yeah.
Most coaches today, you know, a guy just starting out or wanted to practice, they would just say, "Oh, take this 620 because they're a dime a dozen now. They're just, you know, people give them away. But back then, Paul, your bid was up to $300 minimum.
Wow.
If you were bidding on a 620 that had the teams and the bases, you weren't getting that thing for much from the $250 to $300 range.
Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Oh, my goodness. I had a bid going up to, I was up to about $520 I was bidding on a board. It was the Cowboys-Colts Super Bowl. It has the baby blue end zones with the, I think, the Lombardi trophy in the middle.
Okay.
It's powder blue in the middle. And I think the guy had like four teams with it. Old school black shoe teams and had bases for all the teams. And I was bidding, and I lost a bid. I remember I had to walk away from the from the computer or something. You know, phones wasn't as advanced as they was then. You were on your computer.
Yeah.
And I lost the bid. And my final bid was like $500 and something.
My God.
Oh, yeah. You know, you going head first? I've been there, buddy. I've been there. I've been head first from 1998. I've barely slowed down not much.
The teams, not much. The teams are, you know, I saw one listed, a beautiful team on Facebook today, I think it was, Jacksonville Jaguars for like, was it $500 and some?
Yeah, I think 600. Yeah, 52. 52 players. Yep.
And the
mustard colored uniforms. Yes. They look sweet. Yeah, they were all custom.
I mean, when I was a kid, I was the only one that I was a loner. You know, me and this other kid, we never played against each other. And you know, so my friends and family coming up, oh man, you really spend a lot of time detailing those players. You know, and I'm like, oh man, you haven't seen anything. You know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, when I got back into it, I was like kind of blown away by the by the details and the face masks and the guys with the pads on and the neck rolls and stuff.
Oh, it's incredible. Like I said, that's another thing. Like I said earlier, it's from then to now the creativity. Right. It's through the roof. You know what I mean?
But was there a heyday? Was there a golden age? Was it like the early, the 08, 09? Or do you think now it is?
I would say the heyday was those Miggle conventions where that was like really the only thing going on. It was, and then George Diamond, owner of Buzzball, came along. He had his Winter Fest and Summer Slams. And that kind of – the SummerSlam was the big tournament in the summertime. And then you had the Miggle convention was always in the winter, always in January, sometime around there. And they switched it up. It was in Detroit one year. It was in Livonia?
Livonia.
It was in Jacksonville, Florida one year. It was in Memphis one year. It was in Canton, Ohio one year. South Bend, Indiana in the College Football Hall of Fame. It was, they kept moving it, and that was like the heyday. I would say the early 2000s and going up, that was the heyday. That was 620s everywhere.
Right.
You know what I mean? That was another thing. 620s always ran. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like now
right.
You get these tournaments. That's the biggest thing with these tournaments, getting the boards. You know, everybody don't like a board. A board might run better.
Yep.
Back then, you had 620s, and a 620 was going to run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. So, nice and smooth.
Nice and smooth.
Even.
But the tweaking element, the speed of the game has evolved so much that playing on a 620 is just is almost unimaginable. It's like fighting in a phone booth, you know what I mean?
So, right.
The men move so fast now that you need these bigger boards. People can pass so much better. So it's evolving. It's constantly evolving, and we are adapting to the changes. We're making the necessary changes. I mean, I think it's beautiful. And you still have your little spats. I mean, it was back in the day, the biggest rage, the big argument was boil bases, whether you should boil or you didn't boil.
Okay.
You know, spoiling the bases was frowned upon. It was always done out on the West Coast. You know, they always had boiled bases, and they always felt, you know, dissed by everybody because they boiled and nobody else looked at it. That was a big argument. A lot of bad blood with that. But, you know, if you, you know, those guys would come to the tournament, the middle convention, they'd come with their boiled team. You know, it was hard for them to get a game. Nobody would want to play them because they didn't feel like they had a chance. But we started tweaking bases, and now the tweaking outdid the boiling. So they might still boil. They don't mind boiling, but now the tweaking is the main thing now.
Boiling the base, so you boil it, get it nice and soft, and then you can play.
Well, no. They would make a – I think they would heat up water and put baby oil in it or some kind of chemical, and then you would drop the base inside the boiling hot water. Okay. And then it would soak up the baby oil. It would make it heavier, but it made it strong, like a boiled base. And then you took it out. You didn't really have to tweak it much after that. Oh. It just was strong anyway. You had to talk to a guy that knew how to boil, but the thing was, we were just, nobody used to tweak back in the old days either. You know what I mean? You were just, you know, flipping dials. You know, just the thing was trying to find a combination of a dial with a shell that made some strength. You know, that was the big thing. These guys, they're boil bases. They would just buy a pack of bases, just throw the whole sprue before they even took it off the sprue. Throw the whole sprue in the boiling hot water with the baby oil and pull it out, and you got stud bases all the way across the thing. Huh. So you put your front line and your front in one base, one boil base would push like two, three of your regular bases.
Wow.
Because it was so strong, it soaked up that oil, made it heavier. It was heavier. It didn't move good. You wouldn't want your running back or your wide receiver to be boiled because they didn't move as well.
No, but far strength,
oh my goodness, strength out of this world. So
I got me.
That was another thing.
The first time I got my ITZ bases, I got the package. I was getting all excited. I'm like, all right, I'm going to level up here. Got them out. The prongs are all like twisted. And I'm going, oh man, I got a bad batch or something. I didn't know what was going on.
A bad batch. No, you got to, what they call training your bases, bro. You got to train them. You got to tweak them back. You know, get them brushed back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
George Diamond with Buzzball called it plating. He would, you know, before tweaking, he called it plating. When he sold these RL bases, the repros, and what he wanted them to do is you would get it set down with your bristles going to the back, so it's going forward. Put your bristles to, make sure they're to the back, and set a plate, like a regular old dinner plate. Set it on the bases and just keep it down that way, and that would keep the bristles going to the back. You know what I mean?
Oh, plating.
Yeah. So the whole called plating, it's with the came with the original packaging of the bases. So you would get your bases, and you put three or four of them, you get a plate, and just sit them on there overnight. Then when you came back from work the next day, and you took the plate off, the bristles was leaning to the back, and that thing was ready to go. It was ready to go. Now, obviously today, we do the tweaking with the pliers and everything, so...
Yeah, people pay for it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, some guys, I tell them, I call them or I text them. I say, look, I want some bases. I want the Mr. National discount. And if you don't, I'm calling Uncle Sam on your ass. These guys are making bank.
Yeah, they are.
Oh yeah. I mean, hey, God bless them. You know what I mean? Some people have more time, and some people have more money than time. I'm kind of in between. You know, I can tweak. I've been around for a while. I tweak a little bit. I'm not saying I'm a Ken Allen, Norbert Revels, or, you know, one of them guys. Jamie Harris. He's, you know, Jamie Harris stays home. He's an at-home dad. You know what I mean?
Oh, man.
At-home husband. You know what I mean? So he tweaks all day. He's gotten better and better. You know, every Vince Petros, great tweaker. One of the all-time greats, Vince Petro, as far as his knowledge of the plastic and the tweaking, way ahead of his time. So, I mean, those guys, you know, if you don't have the time but you do have money, and it's another way to be, if you're willing to spend P-double and get the better bases and the better tweaks, you're more ready to compete at a higher level. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it's the basics. I remember one post we had, you know, far as like what contributes to winning, knowing your team, knowing the rules, base talent, blah, blah, blah. And the majority said, you know, well, not everybody, but I say base talent. It don't matter whether you know the rules or your players. If you know the bases, you got the horses, you're going to run.
Right. If you don't use the back is slow, you'll lose five.
Oh, yeah. If your line's getting blown back, it don't matter what you know about the rules. Your line's getting blown off the off the ball 5-10 yards on the first clip. Yeah, what are you going to do? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Being able to pass is also a big help in achieving competitiveness in the game.
Yeah.
You know, the horses. So, like I say, you know, if you got the time, a lot of guys do it yourself. I mean, it's, hey, go for it. It's not like it's rocket science. You get there with some pliers. You get there with you get your little magnifying glass.
No, it's rocket science, man. This is hard. It's like surgery. It's like brain surgery.
No, it's not. You know, you get there with some tweak pliers, and you just start squeezing. And what you do is you buy a base. You do buy a couple bases from the tweakers. You buy a Jamie Harris base. Yeah. You buy a Thor base from Norbert. You get a base from Jim Davis and all these other cats, you know, Ken Allen and some of these guys. And then you tweak up against them. That's your gauge, you know what I mean? And you might get a guy that might fight with him a little bit, but, you know, that's how you get better. You know, that's how you get
maybe
better.
Maybe I need to get an O-line or something from Norbert.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. You did, definitely. You do not want to go in. It's nothing more disheartening than you line up your team and you just get plowed back. You know what I mean?
So my first experience in Lecture Football, I showed up, you know, in Canton there, and you were there.
And
I ate dinner with Frank Jacobs and Adrian Baxter, and then Adrian agreed to show me how to play and scrimmage me. And his defense moved the ball faster than his offense against me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I was going backwards faster than he could go forward.
Man. Yeah, it's just the speed of the game. I remember, I've been there. I remember when I first started playing, you know, growing up we had our own kind of rules. You know what I mean? We were clicking a lot. You know, we would stop. It was more like remote control. You click it, and then you can move the guy, and then you click it again, and you move the guy.
Uh-huh.
You know, all this one stop, and you had to make a decision. It took me a while to get my wits about me, but right from the start, I could notice that the ability to pass the ball was going to be huge.
Right.
And that's what I worked on, even before the strength. I mean, I got enough strength to fortify my line and stuff. You know, you want to win. You don't got to win the battle of trenches, but you just don't want to get blown back. You know.
Right.
So once your lines are pretty good, you set there. The other thing is scheme. You know, most guys come in with the loopers from the outside coming in to get your quarterbacks in your backfield, and you have to scheme and know how to either get around them, move, you know, inside of them or block them.
Yeah.
So that. And that's the scheming part. But passing. Practice your pass. So you don't even need a board to pass. I know one of our old-time players, Paul Daniels, who played in us back in the day, whose nephew plays for the Green Bay Packers right now, Mike Daniels, number 76.
Nice.
Paul Daniels. He former Super Bowl champ in our league. But he was a police officer, like a captain or a lieutenant, high-ranking. He was one of the best passers in the league. And he said in his office, he always had his triple threat quarterback. He said he had, whenever he got a chance, he'll pull a triple threat out, put it up against the receiver up against a pitcher or something.
Oh, I need to do that.
He just threw passes.
Oh, I need to do that.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That's what he did. He said that's, you know, and that dude, once he got a guy open, you might as well start turning defenders because he was going to hit it. Wow. And that's what you do. You don't need a board to practice passing. You just need your footballs, you need your quarterback, and a guy to throw. That's it. And just something behind him to catch the ball, you know?
Yeah.
That's what he did. He was one of the best passers in the league. So there you go, folks. This is the Mr. National Podcast with P Double talking about a little EF today.
Yeah, we've worn it out on EF. Let's move on to the Facebook page. Some great content on there. What about the dance off? That was a great one. I loved it. I was intrigued by that one. That was a great one.
Yeah.
James Brown against
James. It had nothing to do with the singing, and it was just, you know, in the performance, who was the best dancer? And obviously, Michael Jackson, James Brown were like the top two C's. They had buys. We had MC Hammer in there.
Yeah, you had Hammer against Elvis.
Against Elvis, yeah.
Justin Timberlake against Usher.
Yes,
that's a tough one right there.
We had Chris Brown.
Don't sleep on Justin Timberlake.
Timberlake can move, man. I mean, that kid can go. We had Chris Brown versus Bobby Brown.
Oh, right.
Yeah, right. Battle of the Browns. And then we had Heavy D versus P. Diddy. So, yeah,
Heavy D was great. Is he still
there? Oh, he was awesome for a big man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he could move. He was
spectacular, man.
Don't get me singing, man.
Yeah, you don't. Now that we found love, you know, the overweight lover's in the house. Yeah, he has some good ones.
I think Heavy D is my favorite rapper.
Is he? Get out. Yeah, wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know, back in the day.
Oh, yeah, in the late 80s. Yeah, late 80s to 90s. Yeah, I can't listen
to it now, man. All this mumble rap. It's just crazy.
Oh, my goodness. It's tough.
I'm going to the party.
They're making money. They selling records. But I have no idea what some of these guys are saying. I keep it old school. I keep it, on Sirius Radio, they have it used to be Backspin, but now it's Rock the Bells Radio, LL Cool J. So he plays a lot of old school radio, songs on Sirius. Yeah, I'm more to the old school. Love some 80s, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Mr. National's got an eclectic taste.
Yes.
I can tell.
Yeah, Boy George, Wham!, Duran, all those European groups that came over, you know,
the lyrics of the day was from some group. What was the name of the group?
Sixpence.
None the Wiser. Like
there you go.
Man, Master National. Going way back.
Yeah, that's all the stuff that I got stored on my music, on my library. I think I'm going to have like a million songs in the iPad, whatever. The iPod. That's what it used to be called.
Yeah, the iPod,
yep. iPod, yeah. I still got one. I don't even know if it still works. Nowadays, you know, cell phones, they have made them to hold more storage. So.
Right. Things have changed in our lifetime.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, what are they going to be like when we get older? And it's going to be, I don't even know, man.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing was like talking to the watch. They got that smart watch, and, you know, what was that? Get Smart and everything, and James is buying it.
Yeah, the shoe phone.
You know, that was like, the shoe phone. They got that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was everything. You know, I don't know what they're gonna do now. Maybe it'll be like a 3D image. You know what I mean? Maybe the person you're talking to will be like a image or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, look,
you'll be looking at them.
I was rewatching when I was in Philly. I was rewatching Star Trek episodes, and Kirk would go like this, tap his little thing on his chest, and talk to Spock.
Yeah.
I was always like, how does he know it's going to Spock? How come he's not talking to Bones right now? He does the same thing. You know?
Right.
But it's the same thing with your cell phone. Now, you know, you just punch in the number, boom, I'm talking to Mr. National. You know
what I
mean?
That's it.
It's trip.
Technology. And the funny thing is, don't spend too much on something today, because 2 years later, that thing is obsolete, and you're getting another one.
Oh, man, I can't keep up.
You can never keep up. You'll go broke trying to keep up. It's almost like trying to keep up with electric football.
yeah, right? I'm just going to stick with electric football, man.
Right.
And I'm gonna, you know, just paint.
I used to collect sports cards, baseball, football, basketball cards. And, I mean, that thing, trying to keep up with that, so many. Back in our day, it was just tops. Football, it was just tops and flair.
Right.
Baseball, you had Dumross. Basketball, you had hoops. Now, everybody's making a card, and you're trying to spend. You spend a ton of money.
Cards?
Huh?
They make cards now?
Oh, yeah. Football cards? Yeah. Baseball cards? Yeah.
Oh, really?
Huge. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they still do it.
Oh.
I mean, right now, if I catch a card show, I see it. What I'll do is just buy a certain player or a box set or something like that. But as far as like buying packs and packs, yeah, you'll go broke. Can't keep up with it.
You know, I never got into it. And you want to know why? Because, like, I'd get a Walter Payton card, and he never had the logo on his helmet.
Yeah.
They didn't have it. It pissed me off.
Right. Yeah, like, they never had the license.
Right, the licensing.
Yeah, in 81 they got it, or 82. Yeah. Then they started having them.
Yep. That was about when I checked out. I was like 10 later. That's what you said. I'm like, hey, man, I can't get behind this.
Yeah. you dating yourself there. Yeah. You just showing your age, yeah. Before 80, 81, 82 were the year where they went to the NFL license and all the players had their logos on the helmet.
All
right. Yeah, but hey, I got tons of cards, P-Double, tons of them.
No, I never could get into the cards.
I got into cards. I was into a slot car race. I had the Aurora track.
Oh, yeah, those are great.
And Tyco. I never bought the TCR one, the one that could switch lanes.
Yeah, right.
Pretty cool. My buddy had one, but I kept with the slot cars, you know. You know, getting that Richard Petty number 43.
Right.
That was it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you stay away from video games then?
Heck no. That's video games.
So Madden and FIFA and all that you play.
Well, even before Madden, Tecmo Bowl, Nintendo came out. I mean, of course, Atari. Atari had a football game. It was kind of weak, just dots and stuff and little stick men. Had Atari. But then when Nintendo came out, I would say in the late 80s, about 86, 87. ColecoVision. ColecoVision was before. Yeah, ColecoVision, Atari ColecoVision, Intellivision or something.
Yeah, Intellivision.
They were old. I still played electric football back then. But then when Nintendo came out and Tecmo Bowl, that's when I kind of stopped playing with electric football.
Oh, okay.
That's when it was quicker. You know what I mean? The game went fast. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The players, you know what I mean? You had Jerry Rice. You had Walter Payton. You had them. And just all those games, Legend of Zelda. So I was huge in the video games. That's when I probably put my electric football down in the late 80s, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Video gamed up. Then from Nintendo went to Super Nintendo. Then you went to Sega Genesis. You know, from 32-bit to 64-bit and on and on. From my days of electric football, buying the, ordering the teams, the little ordering slip.
Yeah.
I guess when the Landsmans took over, Miggle Toys, they had the addresses or whatever, and they sent out that plugged-in. And I got the plugged-in letter, and they were coming back with, like, a tournament. And it was the first one, I think, I want to say it was in Chicago.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think it was in Chicago.
I was just, like, barely paying attention. And I was
2 years, I think it was in Chicago, the first 2 years they had it. And you would video cassette on a VHS, you would video your play. And if they liked your play, you got invited and you were in the Final Four or whatever. And I think the first year, Myron Evans from the Philly area, he was the one who started the whole Philly electric football thing. He went to the Super Bowl against the Klingbeil brothers. The Klingbeil brothers beat him. And then the second year, I think it was in Chicago again. And it was Lavelle Shelton against the Klingbeil brothers. And they beat him too. Then the third year, I think it was in Ohio. I think it was in Cleveland. The first year Cleveland had got their team back, I think in 97 maybe, 98 I think. That was the third one. Now I'm getting these newsletters saying, you know, Electric Football Super Bowl. And I'm like, man, people still play that game? I'm like, no way. And I was like, they must be a bunch of nerds. Like, no way. And at that point, I had never been on a plane. Never flew. And I was like, Chicago. I was like, I'm not going over there. You got to fly. I'm not getting on no plane. Then it was in Ohio. And I'm like, I ain't going on no plane. You know, I'm not driving. I was like, it's going to probably be crazy. It's going to be corny anyway, right?
Yeah.
So then the newsletter comes. Now it's in Philadelphia. It came to Philadelphia on City Line Avenue. I'm like, wow, no way. So this is, I want to say 98. I pull out my Electric Football Men, my Houston Oilers, and my Packers. Those were like my two best teams as far as talent. Still like the 49ers, but my best teams were the Packers and the Oilers. And I ran them a little bit, and it was funny when I pulled them out, all my teams, you know, I had them in the bag. And now it's in the late 90s now. I'm in mid-90s when this thing is when it's going to Philadelphia. I want to say it was 98, I think. So I'm looking at my team. I still got number 33 on the Cowboys. Still got number 11 for Danny White.
Danny White, I was like,
I'm like, wow, like my rosters are all old. My Detroit Lions had number 20 for the running
Billy
back.
Sims.
That was Billy Sims. that was Barry Sims.
So yeah, but all you had to do was just take that little sticker and pull it off, right?
Yes, right. So that was the first thing. I was like, all right, I'm going to pull off these numbers and update. You know, I was getting into electric football again. You know, it's kind of. Like, you know, I'm a update my rosters. I'm gonna buy some sticky numbers, and the thing was in Philly, so I knew exactly where it was at. I was like, I'm gonna drive by here. So I went by Saturday. It was kind of late Saturday evening, and the hotel they had it had like a door guy out front. And I pull up, and I say, you know, I kind of fought with myself about going. You know, I was like, why am I going up here? You know what I mean? It's gonna be corny, bunch of nerds in here, you know. They're probably going to be like four people in here. So I pull up and I say, hey, buddy, is that electric football thing going on? He's like, it's closed right now. He's like, but they'll be back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow morning around 9. So I said, all right. So it was like he was closed. So I said, all right. So I pull back off and go back home, whatever. Now it's Sunday morning. I call my cousin, who I used to play with every weekend we would get together and play our teams. He had his own little league going on. I had my own league. When our parents, you know, our moms are sisters. So whenever one of us went over each other's house, we would bring our teams and we would play our teams against each other. So I said, Eric, I said, man, this electric football thing is back. I was like, I'm going to stop by there. He was like, I don't know. I call me in the morning. I'll see. So I called him in the morning. I was like, yo, I'm going to head over there. I'm going to see. I was like, it's probably corny. You know what I mean? I'm going to go, though. I want to see it. So he's like, all right, I ain't going. So I drive over, back over Sunday morning, park in the parking lot. I didn't have nothing with me. I didn't bring no teams. Or I could have been that guy that walked in. You know
what
I mean?
Bright eyes.
got rooked right from the door. So I go in and I walk in the room and I'm like, first thing off is like, man, there's a lot of people in here. You know, my eyes are looking like saucers now. I'm like, holy cow, I'm looking around. I'm walking around, like seeing all these people in here. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
I see over a big old stadium, like the Vet Stadium.
Yeah.
With a big Super Bowl trophy. That was Myron Evans. That was the guy from Philly who started the Electric Football League in Philly. He was over there. I didn't know him then. I didn't know nobody. I just saw the big stadium with the trophy in it. And I'm walking around, and I saw, now that I know him, it was Reggie Rutledge from Texas.
Right,
he was sitting there talking to Dirk Thomas. You know what I mean? Wow. I didn't know none of these guys. I'm just walking around, Paul. Walking around, just amazed. Then I come up to the ITZ booth. Mark and Bill Klingbeil, they had their ITZ figures. And like I say, we're just used to the little dots on the helmet.
Yeah.
Now, you know, they came out with the stamped helmet teams. And I don't know what the Klingbeils did. They had, like, these Mike Allstott and the numbers. Back in the day, just had a sticky number, just blue, red. Their numbers were like, looked like the real Tampa Bay Buccaneers numbers. I'm like almost, I couldn't believe it. And the poses, it was custom. It wasn't the Fab Five guys, the arm out, the stiff arm guy. It was just all this stuff. So I'm just like, I can't believe it. And he's got rosters. He got names. They had names on it. The ITZ.
Yeah, right, the names on the rosters.
I remember back in the day, we used to use the white pages. We would cut the names out of the white pages back in the day.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, when I was younger, we would use my mom's nail polish, like the gloss.
Yeah.
It was kind of sticky. So it looked good on the white jersey teams, but not so good on the dark jersey because it was a white. You had to cut it out. So we'll put, like, I'll get my mom's nail polish, I'll brush it on the back of the player and cut out Williams and stick it on the back, and I had a name with that. So
That's how we did it. I thought I was creative, man. I was nothing.
But now, these guys had, like, decals. It was clear. It, like, went right on the jersey. It looked real.
All leveled up.
Oh, I'm like, so, P-Double, I walk out of the room. I walked out to my car, and I couldn't breathe. I was like hyper. I was like, oh, my goodness. I just couldn't believe it was maybe 80, 100 people in that room or something going on.
Wow.
It was, and they were having the Super Bowl. And the Migos championship was that day. And it was Paul Daniels versus James Cruz. Guys I got to know later on in life.
Right.
But they were playing the Super Bowl. And they were playing the game. People were around there watching them. And people were selling stuff. I go back out. I mean, I can't breathe. I'm like, oh, my God. I called my cousin. Dude, you got to get out here. You got to come down here. We on C-Line Avenue. Dude, they got – remember how we used to say it'll be cool if the you could see the emblem on the helmet? Remember how we used to say that and stuff? He was like – I was like, they got it.
This guy's
he got the 49ers is SF on the helmet. You got to see it. I was like, I couldn't contain my excitement. I was sweating the whole nine. He wouldn't come. He said, I ain't going to be able to make it. I said, man, you crazy. I said, I'm going. And the Ravens had just came out. I think I didn't have the Ravens. I used to have all 28 teams back in the day.
Right.
But since then, they had got newer teams. I think the Panthers, the Jaguars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ravens.
Jacksonville, Carolina Panthers. Then they had the Ravens. The Ravens were the old Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
So that was one of the teams I brought. I brought some Baltimore Ravens. And if some people remember, when the Ravens first came out, it wasn't the bird on the helmet. It was like a crest. It was like something else. And that's what the team I got, that stamped on the helmet. So I know I brought some new Patriots. I remember buying the new Patriots uniform. I brought some Ravens. I brought the Panthers. I brought some other teams. And I was just like, just buying a few things here and there. And I probably would have just left. And, you know, I don't know. But what happened was Pat Morris. Pat Morris is from Ohio. Pat's like 6'5", big dude. Pat saw me walking around. I guess my eyes bulging out of my head. He said, hey, buddy, what's up? And he talked to me. I was like, hey, man, what's going on? You know, I'm from Ohio. I'm like, Ohio? He was like, yeah. And he was like pointing the guy. He's from Texas. He's from Los Angeles. He's from Vegas. I was like, yeah, all for this? He's like, yeah, man. He was like, where you from? I said, I'm from Philly. He was like, oh, man, you all these guys, you in the hotbed. He's like, that's Myron Evans over there with that stadium. they got a league going on. I said, a league? I said, what? So he says, let me show you something. He was like, Dirk Thomas. He was like, Dirk, let me see one of your men. And I remember Dirk giving him like a look, like, you know, like, Dirk gave him look like, you know, where you taking my guy yet? And Dirk, and he, Pat kind of said, well, I'm right here. I'm going to just show this guy over here. And he gave him a guy. It was like, he hand painted like a Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
The bird, right? All hand painted. The stripes look like decals today.
Wow.
I was like, how did he do this? I'm looking. And he had customly melted the guys up. And I was like, man. So Pat took me over to Myron. He said, hey, Myron, this guy's from Philly. And Myron, I think, had cards or something. And I gave him my information or something. He was like, yeah, we're starting a league. I was like, okay. And Pat kind of like held me by my hand, taking me all these different tables and stuff, you know, and showing me and meeting me, introducing me to these people. And then another guy, Cliff Gibbs, one of our coaches, he came up to me. He was like Mr. National.
Yeah, it's been a long.
And it's been a long ride, Paul. It's been a long ride. And real quick, it was in Philadelphia. Then the next year, it was in D.C., Washington, D.C. The next year, it was in D.C. I rented a car and drove there to the next year. The following year after that, it was back in Canton, Ohio. And by this time, me and Pat Morris are best of buddies. He says, fly into Cleveland. And then we'll drive. You can stay at my house. And then we'll drive over to Canton, Ohio, where the Miggle Convention is at. And I had never been on a plane before.
Wow.
Never been on a plane. My first time getting on a plane was to go to an electric football tournament.
That's awesome. So now all these years later, you know hundreds of people all across the country. I noticed something like just a couple of days ago, we had one of the coaches that everybody knows had a family member pass away. And I've never met him before in my life, but I feel like I'm close to the guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt really, almost heartbroken for him.
Yeah.
And, just because of this connection with electric football.
From electric football, yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. I tell people all the time, you know, at work and outside electric football, you know, I'm kind of fortunate. I can almost go to anywhere in the country.
Yeah,
and not need to rent a car. Sometimes wouldn't even need a place to stay because they say you coming to my town, you staying with me.
Right.
I got a room, I got a bed, I got a bathroom. It's yours,
That's awesome.
That is electric football. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that is electric football.
Yeah, what a story!
Wow, yeah.
Wow. Well, this is episode.
Well, I hope the listeners enjoyed it. It's been quite a run.
Yeah, man, I'm sure. This is episode 2 of the Mr. National Podcast.
With my main man, P. Double.
Right on. We are putting it down, putting it on wax, as they say.
Right. I like that, yeah. That's old school. We old school, right?
Yeah.
Putting it on wax, right. It's a wrap.
We had some technical difficulties with this new fandangled technology. Bam, the battery hit the wall.
We're going to start getting some callers.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Special guests, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep.
We'll let the producer with the most handle that part of it. I'm just the voice.
the face of the voice.
Right, the face. The face of the hobby.
Now, when you start becoming the body of the hobby, I'm out.
Yeah, right. We'll lay that up to Frank. Frank James.
There you go. Yeah.
The face of the hobby and the voice of the podcast. There we go.
Nice.
But I hate hearing myself. I don't know.
Yeah, I hate hearing my voice. It sounds great because the main thing is you keep it moving. It's engaging, you know.
There we go. Yeah. That's Mr. National.
Yeah.
Corey is not engaging. Corey was some shy, skinny kid, you know what I mean? But Mr. National, flamboyant, he's engaging, And he keeps it moving.
Right on. Right on. Okay. That's
well,
a wrap.
Folks, we're going to say bye. We'll hope to see you again next time we sign on. Peace.
Peace.